Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
From Wondery, I'm Nikki Boyer, and this is Call Me Curious, where every week I'll get to the bottom of those funny, strange, puzzling, or just gotta-know questions you have. And we'll tell you, the best we can, what the answer is.
I've got 21 questions. I've been 21 guessing. You could teach me a lesson. Call me curious. Call me curious. Call me curious. Call me curious. So tell the truth.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
I need to know that it's real. Know that it's real. So tell the truth.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show. Welcome to Call Me Curious. So it's June, which means Pride Month. Look, I still remember my first Pride Parade. It was so much fun. I had a little brunch with some of my friends, and then we walked down the street, and the parade was right there. It was so much fun, and I was just actually looking at old pictures of it, and I remember feeling so good being at the parade with my gay friends. And I also remember feeling a little bit emotional that day. I think I had always thought of myself as an ally, right? But at that moment, it just kind of all hit me at once. That I saw my gay friends really feel like they were part of something and they were truly fitting in within the community. And I was just so proud. Look, the parades are super fun, right? They're like a wonderful sea of feathers and sequins and denim and leather and skin. Lots of skin. It's a party and everyone is invited. But our question today, is Pride more than just the parade? And joining me now is a one-man parade, my dear friend, Mr. Malone. Hi, Malone.
Hi, Nikki. Oh, my gosh. Call me gay. Happy Pride, Nikki. Happy Pride.
I love that you're a one-man parade. You really kind of are.
I am. I am a one-man gay Pride parade. I like that.
Tell me your opinions on Pride and the parade. I want to know.
Well, I have a lot of opinions. Let's talk about the parade first. I love the parade, and I like that you described it as one big party, because it is. Mm-hmm. When I first started going to the Pride Parade here in LA, it was a small little thing. It was like a block long.
Didn't
even shut down the street. It was just on one side of Santa Monica Boulevard. And it has grown into this huge carnival type, like it gets media coverage now. You know, there's families that attend this parade, Congress people, you know, political people. So it's interesting for me to see how much it's grown. There's different parts of the parade that I like more than other parts.
Well, okay,
I mean, I like the whole thing.
Yeah.
I personally love when the parents are marching with or without their gay children, their gay son or their gay daughter. Yeah. It's very emotional for me to see parents accepting and loving their kids for who they are.
I love that.
So that always kind of gets me.
I forgot about that part. Because I think people associate the Pride Parade with dancing and music and feathers and glitter. But there are parts that are quite beautiful where these parents are just holding signs saying, I love my gay daughter. I love my gay son.
Yeah.
It's pretty moving. Aww.
It is moving. And my dad actually marched in a gay pride parade out in the Inland Empire without me, holding a sign that said, "I'm proud of my gay son."
Wait a minute. Are you kidding me? Your dad marched in the parade?
Yeah. He told me after the fact, though. He didn't tell me when he did it.
Oh my gosh, Malone. Yeah. That's so,
I know.
Wait, I'm so moved because that's so incredibly sweet. Why do you think he did it on his own?
Well, I think it was a personal thing with him. It was part of him accepting me and being proud of me. I don't know why I wasn't there or I didn't know about it. Maybe I wasn't in town. Who knows? Or maybe I was at a bar. I'll do it. I think he wanted to downplay it on purpose. You know what I mean? So it was more a part of accepting me as not, it wasn't a big deal.
I love that. Oh, yeah. Dad. Thanks, Dad. So I don't think that we can actually talk about Pride without talking about some of its history.
Right.
As Brian Adams put it, it was the summer of 69. And while those were the best days of his life, the same isn't true for our gay friends. Homosexual acts were illegal in every state but Illinois. So where do you go to hang out if you're gay, lesbian, or transgender? Well, one place is the mafia-run bar in New York's Greenwich Village called the Stonewall Inn. The mafia, who love gay people. Wait, no, hold on, that's wrong. They love money. The mafia paid off the police so that they could operate the bar and also blackmail wealthy gay people threatening to out them. So good times back then, yeah. But on June 28th, 1969, undercover cops were joined by squads of police to raid the Stonewall. So this was a very common occurrence. However, the people in the bar that night were done being harassed. Bottles were thrown, punches were thrown, and certainly names were thrown. They had had enough. It quickly turned into a riot as police tried to arrest employees of the Stonewall, as well as drag and trans patrons, because quote-unquote masquerading as the opposite sex was illegal in New York City. But the police were overwhelmed by the rioters and had to barricade themselves into the bar. The next night at Stonewall, a larger group of gay, lesbian, trans, and allies showed up, and the police broke it up again, and the large crowd protested again. This went on for 6 nights, but these altercations sparked a gay rights movement throughout the U.S. and around the world. Within 2 years, gay rights groups were formed in almost every major city in the United States. And 1 year later, the following June, the first gay pride parades happened in New York, L.A., San Francisco, Boston, and Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, Nikki, a lot of people forget about a similar thing that happened here in Los Angeles at the Black Cat Tavern.
Okay.
The police beat up a bunch of gay patrons on New Year's Eve in 1967, 2 years before Stonewall. It sparked a huge protest, but the community gathered and marched peacefully in protest of the brutality. But two of the men at the protest were arrested for kissing and convicted as sex offenders. They tried to take it to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court wouldn't hear the case. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. And I knew nothing about this. The Black Cat Tavern 2 years prior to Stonewall. Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love when the community comes around and supports our gay community, right? I love that. But it always seems like it gets messy, right? And I think now we're finally getting to the point where I hope we can celebrate without the worry. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. You know, pride also represents many things, but, you know, there's strength in pride. Mm. And the gay community has grown in strength over the years. And yes, the climate we're living in right now is high, right?
Yeah.
But the gay community is strong, you know, and we've learned to fight for our rights and our acceptance and our place in the world. So I tend to rest in that area to be in that place.
Oh, I like that. Rest in that area. Strength. I love that. Well, Malone, these important episodes are actually why we have a roving reporter. And today, it's one of our producers, Polly Stryker. We sent her out to see what the people on the streets knew about Pride.
Hey, Nikki. I'm out here in San Francisco's famous Castro District to talk to people about Pride. So what does Pride mean to you? What's the significance of it?
I feel like when I go back to, like, my first Pride, it was the freedom to kind of express who I was, like, in the open.
Can you remember, like, how it felt to go to a parade where there were a lot of people celebrating being who they were?
It was wild. It was amazing. It was, like, it was overwhelming, too, but I was with a lot of people that, you know, I knew I could trust, so it was just fun. It was, like, I look back on that and I have nothing but fond memories, except for losing my phone.
What is the significance of Pride? Like Pride Month, it's, you know, it's June, right? And it, what does it mean?
I think that the easy answer would be, of course, freedom, you know? But more so than that, I think that a little deeper, it's more about visibility, especially in these times politically when transgender rights are being attacked and just the whole political world. It's good that this is visible.
Do you think Pride has become too commercial?
Yes.
Did you get taught in school the history behind Pride, like Stonewall and some of the...
You know, I did not learn about Stonewall until fairly recently. And, you know, I'm an old guy, so they didn't teach that anything like that back then.
Because this is not visual, can you tell people what you're wearing?
I'm wearing a hat. I'm wearing a scarf hat and some Nike shoes, and that's pretty much it.
When did you go to your first Pride Parade?
Oh, my first Pride Parade, I went to when I was 18 years old in Chicago.
And what was it like? How did you feel?
I felt ecstatic. I felt just there was a lot of joy and just there was just a richness in like celebration and connection.
When did you first go to a Pride Parade?
I think the first time I went to a Pride was the very first Pride that happened in Seoul, Korea. It was the first one in a society that's pretty conservative. And you could see that even in the crowd. People were wearing like red bandanas to signify, do not photograph me. So it did feel, yeah, people are being very vulnerable and at risk. And that's what it was about, you know, pushing the envelope in Korea in terms of social rights for LGBT folks.
Well, Nikki, there is a whole lot of pride on the streets here. Back to you in the studio.
Oh, thank you so much, Polly. We appreciate it. She gets to the bottom of things, doesn't she?
Nikki, the bottom of things? My God.
Okay, Maloney, so before we bring on our guests, I just want to be really clear and say that we are not speaking for all LGBTQIA plus people today, right?
Right.
We would love to do more on this subject, but for today's Call Me Curious episode, it's going to be four close friends who are gay, pan, straight, coming together. So these are our opinions. We don't speak for everyone, and certainly all voices are not represented here today. So I just wanted to make that clear. So first, I would like to welcome the self-proclaimed queer expert, an outspoken pansexual personality, and don't forget, friend of mine, oh, Gina Finio. Hi, Jeans.
Thank you for having me, Nikki.
I'm so happy you're here. So Malone, we also have another very special guest. Some of you may know him from the podcast Straight Talk with Ross Matthews. Some of you may know him as a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. And many of you know him as the co-anchor of the Drew Barrymore Show. But I know him, Malone, we all know him as our dear, dear friend. So please welcome the recent newlywed, Ross Matthews. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Ross.
You know, how I'm a newlywed is because Nikki Boyer officiated my wedding.
Oh my God.
You couldn't have done it without me. I mean, well, you could.
I insist. I said, Nikki Boyer's got to be. I'm not going to get married unless Nikki Boyer marries me.
Aw. I love this. This is the best group of people ever to have this amazing conversation. So in honor of Pride, let's dig in. Let's have some fun. So Ross, I want to ask you first. Ross, do you remember your first Pride Parade? What was it like?
I do. So I grew up in a little farm town outside of Seattle. So I remember, I think I was like 17 or 18. And we went down to see, I was like, oh, don't tell anyone, we're going to Pride. And I hadn't really ever really met that many grown up gay people before. And I remember being like, oh, well, hello. You know, the floodgates are open now because there were so many gay people. And there were, you know what else shocked me?
What?
There were like families there.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not even gay and you're here. I remember someone pushing a kid in a stroller. And I remember just thinking like, what, this is Pride? And I got it then. That's what Pride was about being in the streets, being together with your community and allies, and actually feeling proud.
I love. Oh,
that's so fascinating to me that you got it right away.
Yeah,
right away.
Because I didn't.
Right away. Because I didn't have an idea of what it was. I kind of like didn't even know what being gay was. I mean, I knew what being gay was about, but being like a gay grown up, I didn't understand what that was about. And I just remember it clicking right away. This is what Pride is.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
I need to know that it's real. Know that it's real. So tell the truth.
Gina, do you remember your first Pride Parade?
What I would consider to be my first Pride Parade was after I had moved across the country and was really more out than ever. And it was with my first girlfriend officially. And so it all felt very official and validating. And it was also pretty family friendly, which I thought was cool because my girlfriend's boss was there with her wife and kids. And it just seemed like for the first time, these are just regular people just like living. And that's a reality for me. So it was really validated and exciting. But I feel like I kind of wish I'd came out earlier in life. And so this was, I was 27, I think, when it was my first official Pride Parade.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you feel like you missed out on some like preteen and late teen love?
Well, there were still some people. I just didn't really understand it. But yeah, I definitely think that a lot of the experiences I'm getting now, I love that I have them now and I'm glad I'm here. But I could have had this the whole time if I had a better, you know, like example of what life could be.
Yeah. So Malone, I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, is like, I think a lot of people think that the Pride Parade is just glitter and skin and chaps. What, let me tell you, that's all there at the Pride Parade, but there is a lot of family love. Do you remember your very first moment seeing the parade and being part of it?
Yes, I do, Nikki. And I'm fascinated by, Ross, your reaction to the Gay Pride Parade, because mine, I was terrified. I went, and you grew up in a small town. I grew up in L.A., and terrified. I went to the Pride Parade, and I was terrified. Like, no one explained to me. No, I wasn't prepped for what I was going to see. Well, do you know what I mean?
So why were you terrified, Malone? What was terrifying?
Okay, so, well, I was terrified because I wasn't prepped for any of that, what I was seeing. I mean, no one, you know, going to the Pride Parade when I came up in the world and as a gay man, openly gay man, I didn't have a manual. Like no one, there was nothing saying like, you're going to see men in chaps. And like, it like was all new. So it kind of scared me, you know, I was like, this was very abrasive to me, you know? And so I was really scared. I remember going into a gay bar, the mother lode. And I was so nervous sitting in the corner by myself at the gay pride parade. And some guy came up to me, said to me, you know, you'd do a lot better if you smiled.
Oh,
I was so crushed. I ran out.
Oh, I can imagine it's all very overwhelming because there's no, you know, when you grow up as a sort of a straight kid, you're taught this is how you go to the prom.
That's
right. This is how you go to the football game. This is what you do. Like it's kind of laid out for you. But as a little gay kid or a trans kid or bisexual kid, I'm sure that you're like, well, how do I do this? You kind of make your own rules. Do you feel like that's true?
Absolutely, it's true. I mean, like, see, with Gina, like, she's younger, so her experience going to the Gay Pride Parade is completely different than mine. Like, she was comfortable. Ross, like, it surprises me just because you're from this small town, but yeah, no manual, no nothing, no guidance, you know?
Yeah. Nothing.
Well, I didn't say I was comfortable there. No, I said I realized what it was, that what it was about. I mean, let me be very clear. I was completely uncomfortable. Everybody else had like six packs, and my body, when I turned to the side, looks like a capital B. It wasn't cute.
I
was petrified. I right away had that gay shame right away.
Oh, okay.
But I was proud to like see like, oh, this is what it was about. I mean, there were gay people marching in the streets. Where I lived, I didn't know any other gay people. So to go from 0 to 100, I was like, oh, wow, this is what's possible. And you think about how far we've come since then. I mean, that was back in 1998. They were marching in the streets, but they weren't on national television yet.
Right.
And so now to think where we've come is incredible. But that blew my mind and then instantly made me insecure.
Right. I get that. I get it. It's layered. Ross, I want to know, when did you first learn about Stonewall and sort of the roots of Pride? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. I mean, I've been to Stonewall for happy hour about 300 times, but I don't remember the first time I heard the story, you know, about like the day Judy Garland died. And it was the gay community had just been treated terribly, arrested for no reason. There were raids in bars. They were really trying to shut that community up. The story goes that that day when Judy Garland died, they just had enough and they fought back. And, you know, our community's always done that, fought back. But that moment, those Stonewall riots, mm-hmm. when you read about it, started something.
So
because it was saying it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
It was saying it out loud and not apologizing.
I think the bravery, Malone, you touched on this earlier, is the strength, right? And mm-hmm. I don't think that strength always comes in aggression, right? But there comes a point where enough is enough
and
you just can't keep getting treated that way. And I think it's just such... It's just such bravery and such strength when I think about it. I've never been to the Stonewall. I want to go.
Excuse me?
Never been to the Stonewall.
Nikki, well, next time you come to New York, we are going to the Stonewall.
I cannot believe it. Okay, Gina, have you been to the Stonewall?
Yeah, I've been there.
Oh, my gosh. Malone?
I have been. I think Ross took me there.
Oh, really?
I think I did.
Yeah.
You very, very strong drinks. You know, we are a strong community and we pour a strong drink. And so you have to be careful. Like, nurse one for a couple hours. But when you're in there, not only is it fun, it's in a great neighborhood and it's in the village and you just feel the energy. But you can't help but to take a moment and just realize where you are and how powerful this place is.
Oh, I can't wait to go. So let's move on to like modern day stuff, right? It's easy to see all the Pride stuff around, right? Stack of rainbow branded t-shirts. You go to Target. There's, you know, the mugs. It's everywhere. And the LGBTQIA plus community really has struggled for acceptance. And I feel like from the outside looking in, it looks like it's been achieved. But we all know there is a long, long way to go, right? So do you think that Pride has become too commercialized, like, for example, Kellogg's Pride cereal? Like, there's a lot of Pride out there. Is it too commercialized? Do you think people are just using this as an excuse to make money off of a brand? Or do you think people are really celebrating Pride? Ross?
There is no such thing as Pride being too commercialized. Let me tell you something. Put it in everywhere. Put it on every product in the world. The more times we can represent our community in a positive way and say Pride and be proud and it can be visible for people to see it, I don't care where it is, bring it on. When I walk through Target and I see rainbows in the front, you know what I think? Great. I hope everybody sees this. And if Kellogg's making rainbow cereal, great. Scoop me up a bowl. Everybody should have access to Pride. It's not a negative thing at all. In fact, I think it's indicative of how far we've come.
Mm-hmm.
Gina, I feel like Gina is a walking Pride flag. Like, she's just bright and full of sunshine and always different colors. What's, like, Gina, what Pride merch do you have? And I have a feeling that you have a lot.
I love that you say I'm like a walking Pride flag because I've worked so hard to achieve that status.
Yeah!
So the fact that you're recognizing that is so validating. I remember being younger and even when I first came out, so like, I don't know how to let everybody know that I'm gay. I didn't feel like I screamed gay the way I do now. And so that's when I accumulated a lot of my Pride merch because I was like, I got to let the bitches know that that's where I'm headed, you know, is to them. And so I've got sweatshirts and t-shirts I tried to make it subtle, but it's not. It's a huge rainbow across everything. I have hats. I have underwear, shorts, socks. I mean, if you name a clothing item, I have it in some sort of rainbow fashion.
Yeah.
One of the things I think is nice, though, is that because there's that whole Target section, like my parents shop at Target. And so my mom will pick up things for me that say, like she got me little kitchen dish towels that have rainbow hearts and say, love wins. The one year they got me a little charm necklace that had a rainbow and other things that, you know, so there's things that now my parents who, they're not going to wear it themselves, but they'll see it and think, oh my gosh, I should get that for Gina, which I just, that touches me that then that's even available for them, to, you know, to have right. that. So I think that's important nice. Too.
Absolutely.
They have it at Disneyland now too, Nikki.
Okay, let's talk about that because Disneyland, you know, I mean, it was a little slow to the roll here. So how do you, you used to work at Disney.
I did. I used to work at Disney. And when I was a kid in the 70s, you know, Disneyland would not allow boys to dance with boys, girls to dance with girls. That was against the rules. And you could get, you would be kicked out of the park if you were dancing
wow.
like that. I remember going to Disneyland with a friend of mine. She was a lesbian and she was very masculine looking. And they said, you two can't dance together. She's like, I'm a girl. They're like, no, you're a boy.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a girl. So she's like, what do I need to do? Go prove it in the bathroom.
Oh my gosh. Scandalous.
But yeah, we almost got kicked out of the
That's
park because
so
of that. We
wild
couldn't,
to me.
She was a girl and I couldn't dance with her because she looked like a boy.
Wow. And now here, you know, they're celebrating yeah. and selling Pride snow cones. I want to move on to this, though. I think this is an interesting question. And Ross, I'd love to get your input. Is Pride the whole month really, is it a time at all to weed out the people that are unsupportive? Like, is it a reset time for you in your life? Or are you just meeting it with light and love?
I never thought about it. No, I'm not weeding anybody. It's no secret who's not for us or with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't even think about them during Pride. It's just like, I think it's a chance for us to sort of reclaim our community and I don't know, just sort of like scream it from the rooftops. That's how I think of Pride.
I love that. The reclaim. Mm-hmm. It's not, yeah, a reclaiming and just a restating of what's been there for so long for you. Gina, does that apply to you at all? Is there any time where you're like, I'm not really feeling this person in my life. And I think Pride Month couldn't be a better time to be like, hey, here's my line in the sand. I hope you enjoy it.
You know, I find that I weed more people out when it's election time than Pride Month.
That's hilarious.
And I think that's kind of the other side, like the representation and rainbows being everywhere is amazing. But also, I do think it's important to make sure that those companies are doing more than just making rainbow merch. Because as great as that is, like, where is your money going towards politically? What are you supporting mm-hmm. behind the scenes? And so I think as long as these things aren't empty, that's, you know, I think there's a balance in some capacity.
So what do you think about the people that say, why do they have to get a whole month? There's some a-holes out there that say that, Malone.
A whole month? They say that?
Why is Pride a whole month?
Why can't it be for just every day?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I had my Pride flag hanging out here all the time, but I had to take it in because it was getting weather. You know, the weather's messing it up. But yeah, you know, I hang my Pride flag out there and there's some gay women that moved in across the street. They mm-hmm. said that when they were looking for apartments on this street, they saw my Pride flag and they were like, okay, we can live on this street. We're comfortable yeah. here. There's other gay people. So that's the kind of stuff I look at. Do you know what I mean?
That.
Like
yeah.
that helped those girls
totally.
Feel comfortable. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Ross, if I put in my house in La Quinta, if I put a Pride flag up, would that would look like support? Or would being a, you know, sort of straight woman in the world, is that okay for me to do? Since I'm
100%, yeah. The mm-hmm. thing about our community is that everybody's welcome in our community, okay?
Yeah.
So I think it would sort of signify to queer people who are, you know, moving in that like, oh, good, I'm safe. That's really what that mm-hmm. sign says to me is that I'm in a safe space.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, like those women who were moving into Malone's neighborhood, I mean, I just bought a house on the East Coast and I saw a rainbow sign in the town where I was.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, oh, okay, I'll be okay here. I'll be okay
right.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of, I think, what it signifies to mm-hmm. us. And, you know, in terms of like, do we get mad at the people who say, oh, why do they need a whole month to celebrate Pride? No. No, because if that's where you are in your thinking, I don't even spend 2 seconds thinking about you or trying to change your mind or thinking about what you think about me. I really, you know, I don't have room for it.
I get that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think it's interesting, too, because I think as allies, I often say, well, what can I do? Well, I can vote and I can also make donations and put my money where my mouth is. But it's nice to know that just by putting up a gay pride flag that's sometimes... that's good enough too, right? It's just showing my support.
It can be very simple. Something like that mm-hmm. can be huge. But you know what is even bigger than that is what you're kind of doing here, Nikki. Oh. And if there are allies mm-hmm. listening right now are thinking like, what's something small I can do? A conversation. A conversation is something small that you can do. You know, just this one that you're asking us about our experience as queer people in the world is validating and appreciated. So if you're listening and thinking, what can I do in Pride Month to sort of give back? Just sort of like ask a queer person what their experience is like right now. What's it like being a, mm-hmm. a queer person right now? And it's going to open up a dialogue. You're going to get to learn something you didn't know. And you're definitely going to make somebody feel like they are welcome.
Yeah. And heard and seen in a different way, mm-hmm. which is beautiful.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
I need to know that it's real. Know that it's real. So tell the truth.
Okay, so mm-hmm. I'm really wanting to know, who were your LGBTQIA plus heroes or inspiration when you were younger? Like, where did you see representation and who were the people that you looked up to? Ross?
Why don't we start oldest to youngest? Malone?
Oh my God.
It's a shame.
It's not elder abuse. He just continues it on. So growing up in the 70s, as far as LGBTQ representation, there wasn't much. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember Billy Crystal playing a gay character on Soap. You know?
Oh gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, but as someone that was in the closet, you know, that was scary for me to see a gay character on TV because I was in the closet, right? So that I saw, oh my God, it scared me. I had no representation. I think that's why everything was so scary.
Yeah, for me. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to echo that. I mean, I'm significantly younger, very much younger.
Ross,
much,
please. Much, it's much gay younger. Pride.
Much younger than Malone. And I also, you know, didn't have anything. You know, I couldn't name anything. Mm-hmm.
I can't.
No, nobody
That's
that was
so
out.
Interesting.
It wasn't nobody until was Ellen and Will and Grace mm-hmm. that there was anybody portraying us. And, you know, and then I started on television in 2001 and there wasn't anybody, you know, as flamboyant
right.
as me. So you think about this representation, it did not exist. Now, of course, you know, we're in season 15 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
And you think
mm-hmm.
about these kids who are 25 now, were 10 when that show started.
Wow.
On the air, right? And so to grow up in a world where you're seeing that at that very impressionable age during your formative years, we're about to see the kind of difference that will make. I mean, these kids are accepting themselves way before we ever did. They're expressing themselves way before we ever did.
Yeah.
And so let's think about how colorful the world can be now that this new generation
Absolutely.
Is taking the reins. And, you know, I love seeing what young kids are doing now, because even though we've made so much progress, you know, they are trying to turn back the clock. You know, just in Florida now, the whole don't say gay ban that's going on there. And did you see the story about the kid who was valedictorian? They just had the graduation and, you know, valedictorians get to speak. And he was told he can't say the word gay in his speech. Because they'd actually pull him off. Xander was his name, Xander Morix. He spoke anyway, and he never said gay, but he did talk about how difficult it was being a kid with curly hair.
Oh my God, I love him.
Who felt the need that to fit in, he should maybe straighten his hair.
Mm.
And he mm-hmm. talked to allies who understood what it was like to have curly hair.
So, while having curly hair in Florida is difficult due to the humidity, I decided to be proud of who I was and started coming to school as my authentic self.
And, you know, this kid is going to be running the world someday because just what a brilliant way to talk about it. But think about that. In 2022, as much progress as we've made,
right?
You know, this kid in Florida had to talk around who he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're protecting kids from the word gay, but they're not protecting kids from much else these days.
Right.
So well there said. Is a lot, there is still a lot of work that needs to be done.
Absolutely. So Xander, we hear you, we see you, and we love your curly hair.
Perfect.
Well, this is why I love that you went public with your wedding, because now, you know, gay boys, gay girls can see, you know, two men getting married.
And we were very purposeful about that. My husband, Wellington, and I, there was a moment where we were like, are we going to discuss this? Are we going to share? Mm. And he grew up a little gay kid in the Dominican Republic. And I was in a farm town, Mount Vernon, Washington, and we didn't see anything like us. I remember asking myself, can I grow up? Because I didn't know what a gay grown-up person looked
like.
So I remember thinking, like, can I grow up? What is that? I didn't know. And it's always driven me to be that example. And that's why we shared our wedding. Because, you know, in People Magazine and on the Drew Barrymore Show, and they will see this on mainstream outlets. They can point in the grocery store and say, oh, wow, like, that can be me. I deserve this.
And I love that you said that, Ross, because I think for a lot of people, you assume, oh, it's publicity and it's a chance to share and show what you're doing. I know firsthand from talking about your wedding with you that there was a much bigger picture. There was a much bigger message that was being shared. I want little gay boys and gay girls to know that are 12 and 13 and thinking, can I have a wedding? How can I get married? What does that look like? And you showed them and us what that looks like. And I'm so grateful that I got to be a part of that, because I do think that shifts the tide. It just does.
Well, it shows what's possible, you know?
Yeah.
And it was not about publicity. People are going to write about it no matter what.
Exactly.
But it was about opening it up to show people and to talk about it and be purposeful about it. And that's the difference when you talk about what's changed since Malone was a kid, all those many, many, many decades ago.
Ross, please.
You talk about,
my gosh.
No, but you do talk about, there has been.
Call me old. That's what this episode should be called.
Malone and I just do this all day long. But the truth is that there has been an extraordinary change in the past few decades. Extraordinary. And it, in my opinion, it's change for the better. Because you look at somebody like Gina, who was much, 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 much younger than me. And Gina, I'm curious about your experience when you hear elders like Malone talk about people like older like me. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Because you've grown up very differently.
I'm glad you mentioned that I'm much, much, much younger than you, so that I don't have to make it awkward when I say that you were one of the people I was like, look at that guy. Because I remember, I don't really even remember what kind of representation existed when I was in high school outside of Ellen, Will and Grace, Rosie O'Donnell. I remember watching her Now and Then was one of my favorite movies ever. And I was like, that she's gay. I know it. And that was really like exciting, but there wasn't a lot. And then once I was in my 20s, that's when I really started to discover shows on TV that actually had that representation. And at this point, you know, that's still the late 2010s, really, and maybe 2012 when I started to really like watch you on Drag Race, Ross. And that made me then see you on Celebrity Big Brother. And I'd watched Big Brother for years. And even just seeing the way that you were on that show, when even a lot of reality TV wasn't always welcoming towards gay people, it was like a plot point sometimes. And that was frustrating. And starting to see it just be normalized, like your wedding, I think is just like so important. I was at the airport the other day and saw you on the cover of a magazine and bought it, because I was like, this is so great.
Oh, very supportive.
Pretty amazing.
She bought the knot.
She bought the knot.
That makes me so proud, Gina, that you had that experience, because that's the whole point. That's why, you know, that's why people fought at Stonewall.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
and
right.
I feel like, you know, when we talk about inspiration and who we look up to, it's so funny to think that in some way, the three of you on this podcast will change things for someone listening, right? Sometimes it just takes that one conversation or that one light bulb moment or someone giving somebody permission that they look up to go, you know what, I'm going to come out, or I'm going to have the conversation with my family, or I'm going to go to the prom with a boy because I want to. So,
Nikki, or even I'm going to call my brother, because when he came out, I wasn't kind to him.
Oh, gosh, right.
Yeah, right? I've had a lot of high school bullies come back around on Facebook and apologize to me
really?
For bullying me in high school.
Was there one?
How do they look now? Were they still hot?
They don't look so hot.
You do. You look great.
Well, thank you.
Did any of them stand out that like really meant something to you?
When they apologized?
Yeah.
Yes. It all stood out for
me. It did.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty powerful for them to come back around and take responsibility for what they did.
Yeah.
Did you write back?
I did. I said, thank you very much.
Were you like, did screw you?
I didn't need to be their friend, but right. I was like, thank you. That means a lot to me.
Oh,
kept it short, but I thought it was beautiful.
Do you think that pride unites the community, or do you think there's a chance that pride could just be pointing out the differences?
I would say pointing out the differences does unite the community. You know, I think it's important to show that under our umbrella, there are all sorts of different colors.
Ding, ding.
So I don't think it divides us, but I do think it like celebrates the individual mm-hmm. parts of our community.
That's beautiful. And that's why there's so many different initials. And people are like, well, how many initials do we need in this? As many as we need, right? Like,
we need as many as we need.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And we're all different as gay people. You know what I mean? We all think differently. We have different opinions. Like, you know, I have a problem with the gay community with the standards they put on each other as far as looks and stuff. That bothers me. I wish there were more like relatable looking bodies on magazines, gay magazines. Do they still have like Frontier? They used to have this magazine called Frontiers.
Do you remember? I do know Frontiers.
And they'd always have a guy with no shirt on.
I don't know
with,
that
like,
one.
This body.
Frontier.
And I would feel less than. I would feel like, oh, I can't be part of the gay community because I'm not that. Mm. So it made me feel alienated from other gay people. So I hope that's changing, you know?
But don't you think that's just everywhere? Like I think
yes.
You know what though? Now I'm thinking about it. Like curvy, beautiful, voluptuous women are being celebrated, body positivity everywhere. But you're right. There's a little bit, I don't know if I'm necessarily seeing that on the cover of gay magazines. Not that I subscribe to any of them, but
it's changing though, because there's titles like Bear now,
right?
And Twink and Daddy. So maybe that's trying to like.
Or Malone subscribes to Granddaddy.
It never ends.
Malone. I wish this was a video podcast so you could see Malone's face right now.
It's
Stonewall.
Stare.
His face is Stonewall.
He's so terrible to me.
He's about to riot.
Oh my God, I love you all so much.
Take to the streets.
Right?
Oh my God.
I have to ask you, how are you all going to celebrate Pride this year? What are you all doing?
Well, I'm going to say gay as much as possible.
Gina, what are you doing?
I'm planning a big event for my corporate job to educate everybody in the office on what Pride is. We're giving out some different Pride merch. And so that's kind of where I'm going with, you know, my paying job. And then I'm working with a couple other queer content creators to make a podcast that's going to answer questions for queer people. So I guess I'm educating. That's what I'm doing this year.
Wow.
I love that. And Rossi, what's up for you?
I think I'm finally going to officially come out.
Good for you.
Wait, did that just happen on this podcast? I think
yeah,
that was
I wanted
about
to give you
time.
You got the exclusive, Nikki.
Thank
God. She's coming out.
No, really, I'm just going to continue telling my story and
Absolutely.
Queer stories and mm-hmm. just being loud and unapologetic and yep. lifting my community up, welcoming people into our umbrella, like whether it's allies or other people coming out. You know, just keep doing what I've been doing for over 20 years.
So wait, no one's going to the parade. Am I getting this?
Oh, no, I'm not going to the parade. I'll tell you, no, it's too much for
too
me.
Much.
It's too much. No,
Gina?
I've been to so many. It's like, oh, the big crowd. No, I'm good. I'll have a cocktail at happy hour somewhere
like
adjacent.
Nice way,
Gina, will I see you at the parade? Because I have to go to the parade.
I mean, I would go, but I live in a city where it's very, very hot and we have it in October, so nobody dies of heat stroke.
Okay, so let me get this straight. I'm having a show with my LGBTQIA plus community and I'm the only one going.
You
got to
hold
parade.
It down.
Yeah, send us a picture.
I'm going to wear my chaps. So, I just have to say, this has been just a lovely conversation with three people that I adore and respect. And, you know, I think I take for granted sometimes how easy things are when you go through life and you have things kind of paved for you. And you have all had to pave your own way in one way or another. And by doing that, you're now giving people strength and permission and hope that they can also do it too in their own way. So thank you for being on the show today. You all mean the world to me. Gina, thank you for sharing your personal experiences.
Thank you so much. This has been just a dream to be able to share everything for Pride Month. I wish younger me could see this.
Oh, I love that. And Ross, what can I say? I mean, I love you beyond words, and thank you for sharing today.
Listen, three of my favorite people talking about gay. Why would I not show up? Nikki, I live for this. And it was an honor. And thank you for using your platform to tell stories like these.
Love you. All right, Malone. So I guess I won't see you at the parade, but can I borrow some clothes, an outfit maybe?
Yeah, you could borrow some. Well, maybe I'll go buy you a new outfit at Target.
How about a
gay tutu, like a rainbow tutu?
A gay tutu.
It's so cute.
Is there a straight tutu? I don't think there's a straight tutu. Anyway, Maloney, I love you and I'm so proud to be your friend.
Thank you, Nikki. I love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
I love the Pride parades. Oh, they are amazing in every single way. They unite an entire community. They're entertaining, they're inclusive, and they're really the most fun that you can have outdoors, well, legally. But is there more to Pride than just the parade? Yes, you bet there is. For the LGBTQIA+ community, it's about celebrating their history and their fight for equal rights. It's about education, inclusion, diversity. It's also about creating allies, and most of all, it's about feeling safe about being yourself. Okay, that's our show for today. Hey, tell us what questions are on your mind. Send us a voice memo, or you can email us at callmecurious@wondery.com. Or you can even hit me up on Instagram @NikkiBoyer. I would love to hear from you and get to the bottom of all your questions, because I don't know stuff too. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Call Me Curious ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. From Wondery, I'm your host, Nikki Boyer. Our theme song is Tell the Truth by Yana. Thanks to Mr. Malone for joining me on today's show. And thank you to our amazing guests, the lovely Ross Matthews and Gina Finio. New episodes drop every Thursday. Rich Goodman is our senior producer. Gary Lucy and Polly Stryker, producers. Our editor is Steve Mazur. Our associate producers are Jeha Joshua Chang and Ayana White. Scott Velasquez, music supervisor for Frieson Sync. Sam Ada, Rob Spate, and Danny Bringer are our engineers. And Tina Rubio and Marsha Louie are the executive producers for Wondery. Thank you so much for listening to this episode today. Hey, I'll see you next week. And remember, stay curious.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.